from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Hey, fantasy football owners. The road to winning your fantasy football championship starts now. I'm Matt Harmon from Reception Perception. Join me and James Coe as we take a deep dive into the position that's going to make or break your fantasy roster. Wide receivers. We analyze route running, target share, and all the metrics that matter, giving you the insights you need to draft the best wide receivers. As you prep for your draft, let us give you the coverage you need. Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Turn here.
But Shanahan's very upset by the bro hug situation there.
Oh, apparently hates the bro hug.
He did not like that. He's getting sick and tired of the hold in. The mere presence of Ayuk is an annoyance.
You know, for all the
getting under his skin.
For all the genius offensive guy vibes, Kyle Shanahan, he seems kind of annoying.
Not a great big game coach.
No. Although I guess I don't really fault his offense so much for blowing 28-3. It was more the whole rest of the Falcons team.
Fan Hotline is presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider. So this was a bombshell today. Our next guest has a new home. The 33rd team taking his podcast talents there. He's one of the great football minds. He's been a guest on our show during football seasons and for parts of the offseason for years. We love him. And we will support him in his new venture, talking about Steve Palazzolo here on 93.7 The Fan. Steve, congratulations on all your success.
Well, thank you very much. We're Sam Monson and I are we're moving to the 33rd team. We're very excited. It's been a little bittersweet. We helped build PFF almost from scratch. So, yeah, a little bittersweet day over here. Maybe now, it's for your fans that hate PFF, but, you know, it's all good.
I'm sure they'll hate 33rd team soon enough after you're telling us things that they don't like about their favorite players. Now, did you have to force the 33rd team to let to take Monson with you? Were they just looking for Steve Palazzolo and you had to put your foot down and say, no, Monson's got to come with me too?
Yeah, I told them package deal. I'm the star, but I got to bring my buddy along. So, yeah, I'm dragging Sam with me.
All right, here's your first opportunity, Steve, under your new banner here. To actually, I would say, curry some favor with our listeners and make one of the two of us look bad, and I'll just put it out there. You'd be making me look bad, depending on how this goes. I just am not – the best thing I can say about this Brandon Ayuk drama right now that is prominently involving the Steelers, will they or won't they get a deal done with him, I just keep coming back to this. We're really doing this all for Brandon Ayuk. I think that this would be a marginal upgrade on the field over Deontay Johnson for a not-so-marginal price. What say you about Brandon Ayuk, what he is as a receiver, and what kind of value he has?
Yeah, I mean, I definitely think it would be an upgrade over Deontay Johnson. I'm a big Deontay Johnson fan, but I think you were missing a little bit of that little extra star power, that down-the-field threat. I understand the now when you add the contract in and you're talking over $30 million, perhaps. Okay, that's a trickier part of the equation. But I think the Steelers are in this spot where they're hardly paying anything for their two quarterbacks. No matter what happens with Russell Wilson or Justin Fields this year, are they going to draft another guy next year? Like, they're probably not investing a ton at quarterback in the coming years, so you can afford to pay a $30 million receiver. And I just think Ayuk, now you're not just talking Ayuk versus Deontay Johnson. That ship has sailed. You're talking Ayuk versus the Van Jeffersons of the world, you know, hopefully pairing them with a George Pickens. I think that's your best chance to win. And I think Ayuk, does he help? Does it help having Shanahan and all those weapons? Absolutely. But he has developed into one of the smoothest, best all-around route runners, downfield threats, intermediate threats in the NFL. So I think Ayuk is a huge upgrade for what Pittsburgh has.
Steve, if you were playing GM and you're Omar Khan, what's the most you would be willing to give up for him in a trade, taking players and picks into account here?
That's a tough one, because I think the Niners have put themselves in a difficult spot. They're supposed to have the leverage, have the fifth-year option year to have Ayuk play out. Ayuk just wants out. But again, I don't know if like a second-rounder does it, you know, just at this point. I don't know that the ship has sailed so much. If you give up a one, I think in a vacuum, I would give up a one for Ayuk, even with the money. But if you do that, you do put yourself in a position where, hey, maybe you don't get a shot at drafting a quarterback, right? If you know you still only have Russ for the year, pretty much, and Justin Fields, you don't know if he's ever going to develop into anything. So you still have to play this long game at quarterback. So that's the tricky part if you want to give up a first-round pick for Ayuk. But I think in a vacuum, I would probably do it because, you know, I think he has that kind of impact for the team.
Well, isn't next year's first-round crop of potential quarterbacks pretty weak if they really wanted the 2025 first, Steve, just to play devil's advocate to that point?
Yeah, it's one of those weak on paper, but it was also weak on paper the year Kyler Murray broke out, the year Joe Burrow broke out. You just don't know when the year Mitch Trubisky broke out. You just don't know where some of those quarterbacks are going to come from. So, yeah, there's a lot of intriguing quarterbacks that need to take steps forward. But, yeah, I mean, you're right. There's not as many slam dunk types. It's certainly not as deep as it looked, you know, this past year in the first round for quarterbacks.
Steve, when you look over the 49ers roster, do you agree with the idea that they absolutely need to get a wide receiver back in a trade to make things work?
No, definitely not. I mean, they have future-proofed that roster by drafting Ricky Pearsall in the first round. Juwan Jennings, how many times were you watching the Niners last year and you're like, oh, they have this guy, Juwan Jennings, too, with that size, and he's just trucking defenders and making big plays as just an afterthought number three in that offense, and really a number five option in that offense when you add in the tight end and the running back. I don't think they need to get a receiver. Absolutely not. The way they have Debo Samuel, George Kittle, Christian McCaffrey. Look, Ayuk's a big part of their offense, too. That's what makes it work. I mean, they have so many difficult-to-cover pieces, but I definitely don't think the Niners are looking at this saying, yeah, we need to have a receiver to replace Brandon Ayuk.
How concerned should somebody like me that's very skeptical of this trade in the first place, should it get done, Steve, be? One of my arguments, I guess I'm asking you this more than anything, one of my arguments has been, what evidence do we have that an Arthur Smith offense can comfortably accommodate two kind of big-time wide receivers, let's say? Because it's usually been A.J. Brown and kind of Corey Davis in the background or some other configuration. Why should I believe that Arthur Smith has changed his stripes and that he would be able to design stuff that got Pickens and Ayuk the ball to the degree that they should?
I mean, I just don't know that Arthur Smith, has he had enough options that are that good, right? I mean, I was a Corey Davis fan, but he was a number two, and that was just what they had. And Corey Davis had a really good year or two with A.J. Brown as the key number one. So I just don't know that they've had the opportunity to have, you know, two alpha type of ones. I think you can still make it work. It's still going to be a two receiver heavy type of offense. And I think when you pair that with the depth that the Steelers have at tight end, I mean, you're a defense looking at, you know, how you're going to stop that team with a pretty good run blocking offensive line, presumably. Couple backs that can do it, run blocking tight ends that can stretch the seam. It's a really difficult to cover offense if you add one Brandon Ayuk in there. Even if the production doesn't add up, it doesn't need to be 120 catches for Pickens and Ayuk to justify it. It just needs to keep the defense off balance, and I think they have a great opportunity to do that.
Steve, fact or fiction that the 49ers can't fit a market value Brandon Ayuk contract under the salary cap and under future salary caps?
I don't know every last intricate detail about the cap, but I'm going to say yeah, fiction, fact that they can't. I think it will be difficult for them to carry Deebo Samuel, to carry Nick Bosa, to eventually pay Brock Purdy. I mean, the Niners' problem is they have so many good players, right? I mean, they have the best tight end, one of the best tight ends, two of the best receivers, the best running back, the best linebacker, top three edge rusher. They have some of the best players at every single position. So, yeah, it's going to be really challenging for them to keep everybody. And, yeah, Purdy is 1 year away from getting paid. So, look, I think it's in the Niners' best interest to probably just get one more year of Ayuk, make that run. You're a couple plays away from winning a Super Bowl. Hope you get over the hump. And then, you know, say thanks for the 4 years and let him walk.
Steve, we will follow you to the 33rd team. Thank you so much. We appreciate you coming on early with us today.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate the kind words, and thanks for having me.
You bet. Text us on the Edgar Steiner Associates fan text line. We will have a Pirates game to react to momentarily. Pompeiani on the return of football tomorrow. He's calling the game. He's next. We're live at the Rivers Casino Sportsbook. Here's an intern Dom headline.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Hey, fantasy football owners, I'm Matt Harmon.
And what's cracking up, James Coe? Join us on Reception Perception as we dive deep into wide receivers, the position that will make or break your fantasy team.
Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Your heart care matters, so you probably don't want to flip over to the Pirates game right now. Trust the experts at UPMC and get your heart screened today. That is because after a dramatic Joey Bart home run in the bottom of the seventh, and after Aroldis Chapman sent down the Padres 1-2-3 in the eighth, David Bednar has loaded the bases in the ninth. The Pirates
playing
to a one-run lead, 5-4 there.
He all of a sudden cannot find the strike zone at all. Bednar, if he was not a Pittsburgh guy, would be, I mean, he's already starting to get real heat from fans. He would be getting absolutely pilloried. He has been almost as bad as Holderman. And I say that about Holderman, a guy who has literally been on one of the worst runs for a late-inning bullpen guy that I've ever seen.
Made up injury.
Oh, yeah. Oh, boy.
No outs. Malzi, infield hit. Tie game. Unbelievable. Another blown save.
Not even a tie game, Pony. 6-5 Padres.
That's right. Wow. Two came in on that play.
Yep, because it was a wild throw from Mr. O'Neill Cruz. It looked like it was a fielder's choice, like they were getting at least the out at second base, unless I'm crazy here. My eyesight's going.
Oh, my God. Yep. Why is he throwing that ball?
Probably trying to end the game because it's the only chance that you're going to avoid extra innings. And he just missed Rowdy Tellez by 5 feet. And, yeah, it looked like they called him safe at second. So everybody's safe.
Good times. Actually, they called him out at second.
Well, there was already one out, so it should be two outs, and I don't see it updated on the screen here. So maybe the graphic is wrong?
Yeah, I think that's right.
The graphic's wrong.
Anyways, we're keeping Bob waiting. Would you like to serenade Bob and introduce him and ask him for his thoughts on this meltdown?
Yeah, KDKA TV's legend Bob Pompeiani joining us here on the PM team. Bob, should David Bednar be the team's closer anymore? Does it even matter? I'm feeling very nihilistic about this entire operation right now.
Well, two walks. One was a four-pitch walk in this inning, and then another one. And then it was behind Ha-Sung Kim 3-1, and that's when the ball was hit to Kiner Falefa, who went to Cruz has no business throwing that ball. He has to be aware that, okay, there's no way you're going to get that double play. Just minimize it. One out, let the run score, but he threw it by Tellez. Next thing you know, they get a second run. And just not the kind of baseball that isn't conducive to winning. And they're, Bednar's struggling, can't find the strike zone. Olderman's on a 15-day. Chapman's been your best pitcher. So, yes, Chapman should be the closer, but it won't matter if, they can't even get to this point half the time. And when they do, they've blown now multiple games.
Bob, have you discussed with the Steelers maybe finding some time at halftime or in the second half to interview Brandon Ayuk?
Is he here?
That would be epic. Could you imagine that? Everybody thinks it's going to be you and Batch coming back from break, and it's just Ayuk with the microphone. That would be unbelievable.
I think that would be wonderful if it happened. But actually, Listen, Andrew, I appreciate all the hard work you've put into this, and I think in the end you're going to be right. It just takes time. But I'm not sold on Ayuk as a $30 million a year player. I'm just not. I think he's very good. Will he upgrade this team? Absolutely. But they got a lot of money issues in their future coming at them. He's a good player, but I don't know what the asking price for San Francisco is, and that could be holding everything up. But if it's what I think it is, I don't know if the Steelers are going to make that happen.
Have you been told how much Justin Fields is going to play tomorrow night?
No, just that he's going to start. I would imagine, no. It's probably a few series. I mean, he's gotten a lot of work up there, and I think it's, this whatever calf injury to Russell Wilson is giving them an opportunity to evaluate him. He goes into this season, unless they sign him here, and there's a gap shot that's going to drive in another run over the head of G1 Bay by the Xfinity sign, tries to throw it in, and now beyond Xfinity to eternity, the Pirates are going to lose, it looks like, 7-5.
Oh, you are already in play-by-play man mode for tomorrow.
Bob,
you are just greasing the wheels here.
Give us a completely random Steelers offensive player who's not a first-team player who you think is a good bet to score tomorrow night, who you will be giving a big Jim Nance-style touchdown call to, yes.
He's not a big-time player. They have
a lot of receivers you could pick from who fit the not-a-big-time player, Bob.
I'm going to give you one. I'm going to give you one that I think is from what I can tell, is at a pretty good camp. I've talked to people up there. It's Quez Watkins, the former Philadelphia Eagle. I think he's somehow going to make a play. I would have loved to have seen Roman Wilson be that guy, but he's out with that injury, and that's hurt them and him for now. But I think Quez Watkins has a legitimate chance of cracking through, even though at this point he wouldn't be one of my top four guys.
What can Justin Field actually accomplish in this game tomorrow with the playing time that he does get, Bob? Like, I know we're all kind of waiting with bated breath. The athleticism tantalizes people. What tangibly do you think he can accomplish, if anything, as far as how the coaches view him tomorrow?
Accuracy in the pocket. I mean, we all know he could run, Chris. He's terrific in that. He's got a lot of touchdowns. I think 14 in 3 years rushing the football in Chicago. That's not an issue. That's actually a nice thing that they could package in different ways. But just be accurate and don't throw the ball over. One of his biggest downfalls is all the interceptions, lost balls with fumbles. If he plays, he needs to be very efficient that way. And I think they've been kind of pounding that into his head like Tomlin does every year. But this is what they'd be looking for. Poison the pocket, accuracy, and no mistakes.
Bob, Bednar's been removed from this game. I wonder if he got booed by fans at PNC Park. That was a big sticking point.
He's not been very good this year. And he went through a stretch where he actually overcame a slow start, Pony. I thought maybe he had regained it, but now the wildness, he just can't locate. And that pitch that was just hit went to the gap, and there was no way that was going to be caught because it was right over the plate. So even when he's putting it over the plate, it's in hittable spots in the plate. So I don't know what they're going to do. I think they've got major issues there. But, man, it's a shame to waste a five-run comeback like that again for the second night in a row.
Has Ben Cherington done enough with this team to deserve to keep his job after this season, Bob? Like, is this really a well enough constructed roster? Because their minor league system is not highly thought of. I think 27th is what I saw. What's the real case for Ben Cherington keeping his job after this year, especially if things are going the way that they seem to be suddenly going for this season?
Well, you're right. There's not much hitting help on the way, and that's a concern. They don't even have enough hitting help up here. There are too many guys they needed to have good years, from Davis to Brian Hayes to anyone else that you can mention who had prominent roles on this team, and they just haven't done it. So that's a problem. But I think the one thing that will keep him here is that he has stockpiled some pretty good pitchers, and the starting rotation next year should be a major strength, as it's developed into one this year. But I think even more so next year, if Chandler can be up here and be as effective as I think people can be. So then the offseason, you know, I don't know how, to me, this offseason is must for him. And if it doesn't work out, if they have the same kind of offseason that he did this year, Chris, then that would lead to his exit. There's no question about it. They got to spend money, get hitting in here. If they don't have it in their system, go out and buy it. Who cares what the price is? Just bring it in.
Bob, their exhibition games, we learned, I learned a valuable lesson last year. You don't overreact to these things anymore, because I thought Kenny Pickett was going to win the MVP after watching him in the preseason last year. You have worked at KDKA for a very long time. You are so respected when it comes to your job and what you do. Calling these Steelers games, how much fun do you have doing them? What does it mean to you calling these games? Yes, we know they're not NFL regular season games, and maybe some people roll their eyes at the third and fourth quarters of these games. But as a man that is a treasure and an institution in this town, does he still get a rush from calling NFL preseason football?
Well, first of all, thanks for the flattering lead into that. I appreciate it. But yes, I do, and the reason is because I think everyone's waiting to see this. It's one thing to see them up there at St. Vincent College. I mean, you can tell what you can tell based on so many unpadded practices, and then when they put the pads on. The one thing that I like is that you'll see guys who we've been talking about, and largely people who are following this, whether that's through social media sites, YouTube, or in person, you'll actually see them go against other people, and I like that. And I want to see exactly what people like Corey Trice can do in a situation like this, even though it was taken away from him last year. I want to see what Beanie Bishop is all about. He's been the talk of this camp. Can he actually be a starter as an undrafted guy? You'll see guys like Jaylen Warren develop out of nowhere. And there are other examples of that. Also, you know, people are interested about, like, offensive line. I get excited when I see different people try different things. Like, really, is Troy Fontanu not going to be starting? Is Dan Moore going to have to remain at left and Broderick Jones at right? Do they switch? What do they do? I think these are all things that people, we've been talking about it forever, to actually see it for the very first time. And then I enjoy the ribs that they serve at halftime. And I miss Edmund Nelson. Charlie won't engage the ribs as much as Edmund did.
Will Charlie engage like a different form of barbecue? Do you have to just like figure it out? Is it pulled pork that he might engage with? Perhaps brisket you could get Charlie? He holds up a piece of perfectly cooked brisket.
It's not that he doesn't like ribs. It's just the manner of which he
Edmund loved ribs. Charlie merely likes them. Edmund loved ribs, had a passion for ribs. I think that's what you're trying to say here.
Yes, exactly. I mean, he went after it. He didn't care what he looked like coming back out of the break. There could be sauce all over his face. And I like that. That's a typical nose tackle approach to eating, whether it's chicken, whether it's ribs, or anything else. But Edmund delved in. I always enjoyed that. And, it led me to talk for about 10 straight minutes without him contributing because he was eating too much.
Bob, what time you guys come on the air tomorrow night? Give us the rundown.
So 6:30, that's our BetMGM kickoff show. So Rich
Walsh,
Missy
this
Matthews,
year?
Myself. What's that?
Who's on that this year?
Well, it's all the same characters that we've had in the past, So we'll have a lot going on there with Max Starks, AJ Ross, people who've been part of this for a long time. So, and we'll lead up to the games at 7, and then we have a post-game show, which I believe Rich will be back at the studio with Chris Hoke for a special edition of the Ireland Contracting Nightly Sports Call, where Chris Muller will be tonight.
Bob, thank you so much. We're going to watch the Pirates fritter this game away.
Now, do you think they could come back here?
They hit Profar again, by the way. Profar has now been hit by a pitch 4 times in the series and in all 3 games. They hit him on the toe. and he's pissed off, and I don't blame him. But with Kyle Nicklaus in there,
and now Solano just fouled one off on Bart's grill on purpose. Did you just see that?
So let me ask you real quick a question. I know we're
fouled one off to his face on purpose.
Yes,
you think?
You could tell there was intent.
Is Joey Bart your starter next year, regardless?
Yes.
Starting catcher.
Well, you know what? People are very hot to trot for Endy in that situation. And all I say is Joey Bart needs to be playing essentially 150-plus games. The bat needs to be in the lineup that often. And by the way, Derek Shelton looks – I don't care about Henry Davis. I don't care if they trade him to a division rival. I don't know if Henry Davis will ever be good. But you know what we really need to do, Bob? We need to make sure Ji-Hwan Bae gets into the lineup because I need somebody who can bunt a ball about 95 feet in the air, and then I get told, don't worry – there's a great baseball player living in there somewhere. Sure there is.
Bob, good luck tomorrow night. We'll be watching.
All right, guys. Appreciate the time. Thank you.
You bet. Follow us on Twitter, brought to you by South Hills Kia, Peters Township. Coming up, impromptu edition of PM Team Power Rankings. Top five players we're interested in watching tomorrow night in the Steelers' season-opening preseason game. Intern Dom has a headline, and we're right back on the Fan.
All right, well, the Pirates are now losing again. Padres are up on the Buccos 7-5 going into the bottom of the ninth, and you can listen to it all over on 100.1 FM and AM 1020 KDKA. Fan headlines are powered by Bowser and Genesis of Monroeville, now open. For more, go to 93.7thefan.com. Pony!
Let's talk right now about Weather Seal Home Services. If you own a metal roof, you're probably loving it, especially if you had it done with Weather Seal, because they are the experts at it. Nearly indestructible, the elements. They survive the elements. The elements get discussed when it comes to football, and football starts tomorrow. Elements not going to be a factor in Cleveland anymore, evidently. Shame on them. They got a roof on their head, it looks like. Probably wasn't built by Weather Seal. Weather Seal does an excellent job, although they do have some people that work over in Ohio, so maybe I shouldn't rush to judgment there. Anyways, it is nearly indestructible, like I said, all colors, all styles. And right now, you get a roof from Weather Seal 2 years without payment. Not until late in 2026 would you get asked to pay on that roof. And a 6-inch gutter upgrade. Who wouldn't like a 6-inch upgrade? So sign up today, weathersealhomeservices.com. Don't delay. Check them out today. It's Weather Seal. It is time for Power Rankings. Say goodbye to your gutter problems with Gutter Helmet. Book a free estimate at gutterhelmet.com. I'm asking Chris to power rank five good Pirates. Just kidding.
Bart, Brian Reynolds, Paul Skeens, Mitch Keller. I can get to four. No, I can. You know what? Aroldis Chapman has been pretty nails. I'm not even going to give him a hard time because of the Bell home run, because compared to Holderman and Bednar, he looks like prime Mariano Rivera. Or prime Aroldis Chapman, frankly.
Let's alternate here. We'll go one, and then you'll do the next.
But you can't repeat the bar. Yes. Yeah, okay, I like
top
that.
Top five Steelers were interested, were curious to see tomorrow night when this preseason kicks off. I'll give you number five.
Okay. Number five, I'll take Peyton Wilson. I've been hearing, we know that the athletic ability's off the charts. We know he's a run-and-chase guy. We know that the hang-up with Peyton Wilson is one thing, and it's something that's probably, you better hope it's not answered in a preseason game. It's, will the guy be healthy enough to last through, four NFL seasons? If they get four seasons out of Peyton Wilson where he's healthy, won't you already consider it a huge success based on what he's...
I hope it's more than that, even
but based
though
on what he's
thing.
Based on what he's supposed to be as a player, if you get the player you think you're getting for 4 years, what is he, a third-round pick?
Yep.
I would call that a major win. So I'm intrigued to see how the speed and athletic ability, I know they said he's like a prototype dime linebacker right off the bat for them. I'm intrigued to see how that looks actually on a field against other people trying to score against
him. I got to steal Pomp's Beanie Bishop, and I'm not just doing this to curry favor with my wife because he's a West Virginia guy.
You said she didn't even know who he was.
I don't think she did. I can text her and ask. But when you're undrafted and you shoot up the depth chart on the initial depth chart, which the whole point of the initial depth chart is to say, hey, rookie, you're not as good as you think you are. We're going to have you lower than you probably will be when the season starts, but you've got to earn it. When the guy's already earned it either by default, it's not by default, actually.
I think in his case, it's a little of both. They had nobody really else
had an opening
slotted in, and he has done well with it, sounds like. He intercepted that screen or whatever.
So I want to see what all the fuss is about. Beanie Bishop, four for me. Three?
Three for me is probably a cliche type of answer here, but don't you always want to see that year's first-round pick? Troy Fautanu, I think, is a pretty easy one here. You know what they're doing that's making me more insane than anything save Aiyuk watch, right? Dan Moore continues to be penciled in at left tackle as the starter, Jones at right tackle, and we only get, like, little bits and pieces of both, talented first-round picks out there bookending a line of scrimmage at a time. So I want to see what Troy Fautanu looks like, because it certainly seems, Pony, like his arc since they drafted him was, wow, the first practice or two looked really overwhelmed out there, but has steadily picked up business and started to look exactly like the guy they picked.
I'm going Justin Fields, number two. Bob said he's going to play at least a series, could be more. I hope it's not just handoff to LaMichael Perine or someone like that a couple times and get out of there. I want to see the guy, just how he looks in a Steelers uniform. Don't want him to get hurt, but I want to see some of the maybe deep ball or flash that we've heard in camp. I'm not going to put too much stock in it because it is just preseason football, and I learned my lesson from Kenny. But anytime Justin Fields is on the field, you have to watch because the dynamic athleticism is just to die for. Number one?
I don't know if this guy would have been my number one because all four names I had so far written down are on here, but now that I think about it, we venerate the center position. I want to see Zach Frazier. I want to see Frazier out there.
When does he play? How much does he play?
And how does he look? Because we've also heard reports that he was getting steamrolled a little bit by guys like Braden Faoko, and no offense to Braden Faoko.
There was some steaming.
A very nice guy, but he's not exactly give me your favorite nose tackle of all
Casey
time.
Casey Hampton.
He's not like he's Big Snack out there just working a guy over, or Ted Washington or Gilbert Brown or whatever. So we love centers in this town. People love Frazier. People felt like Frazier maybe would start day one, even if Fautanu didn't start day one. I want to see the center of the future, hopefully the next 10 years, do his thing.
Honorable mention, Cam Johnston. Not to be confused with former Pitt sharpshooter Cam Johnson. The Australian punter. The Australian punter has just garnered rave reviews, Mulsey. And unlike Presley Harvin, who it was the bane of our existence last year, watching that guy play ball.
Correct.
This guy, they made a priority in free agency. And so I want to see it. Also, honorable mention.
Two honorables.
Yes.
Now, is that more honorable than the first honorable mention, or is it like a PPS where it's even lower on the list?
It's a little bit lower.
Okay. Just semi-honorable mention.
I'm writing down Calvin Austin / J.R. Plumlee / Quez Watkins.
Why are you writing J.R. Plumlee on this list?
Because these are the guys who are going to probably return kicks in the game, and I am interested in seeing the Steelers' application of the new kickoff rule in the game tomorrow night, because it was a dud in the Hall of Fame game. It was much ado about nothing,
I thought, in the Hall of Fame game. How I feel about that. One, it was the first maiden voyage, so teams now will have hopefully a better idea. Two, the way the receiving team has to kind of look back to the guy catching the ball and then turn gives, I think, the coverage team an inherent advantage. Three, the NFL has just, they have nickel and dimed this rule such and consequences for, like, you know, touchback, moving it 5 yards back further to the 30 and not the 35. I think they have just tried to sabotage their own rule change because they either feel like it's too gimmicky or they feel like they don't want to get the XFL rule just directly cribbed and have people just say, well, you didn't change anything. They've set it up to fail, and it frustrates me because it could be a great thing for the league.
Text came in. One of our listeners wants to see Jack Coletto tomorrow night.
Fullback.
Yes.
That's why they want to see him. People love fullbacks. Pittsburgh is a fullback town.
Is Pittsburgh more a fullback or middle linebacker town?
I think Pittsburgh is, believe it or not, more a fullback town. How about them apples? I think it's a fullback town. People love Kreider hitting Ray Lewis. People love John Whitman, Tim Lester, the bus driver.
You know it was electric today at the Filippone household?
What?
Sesame Street was on.
Yeah.
Big Bird came to Pittsburgh.
Did he?
Oh, got a big pop from Stella. And by the way, speaking of big pops, pop goes the Pirate season. Brian De La Cruz just struck out. Another blown save by David Bednar. The Pirates lose this game. They score a run in the ninth. It's not enough. Jackson Merrill is dancing on the field, rubbing the Pirates' face in it, as the Padres came in here and swept the Pirates. And the Pirates in this big homestand, the first homestand out of the trade deadline, against two teams they were chasing in the wild card race, the Diamondbacks and Padres go 1-5. Holy crap. What a downer.
Could have been 2 of 3, and this should have been, if people do their jobs, as much as they are a flawed team, should have won today.
Last night?
Should have won last night. Should have won at least one more against Arizona.
Yep, that would be that would make it a 4-2
homestand. And could you not, if I'm crazy, am I missing one? Couldn't they have won all three against Arizona?
Yeah, they had the lead in all three games, even after that Luis Ortiz blow-up start.
I've got a lot of thoughts about this and a surprising one about Derek Shelton next.
Let's get your calls in, too. Get in queue right now as you flip over from the game or as you leave the game. 412-928-9370. Let's get your reaction next on the Pirates getting swept by the Padres and losing 5 of 6 at home. 412-928-9370. Who you blame, who you're most pissed at, who you're most upset by. 412-928-9370. We will do that when we come back. By the way, if you don't want to wait out traffic, Mike's Beer Bar right next door. Mike's, the beer of the month is available. Altered Genius Rescue, Kolsch benefiting Crisis Center North. Fan weather brought to you by Sun Chevy. We'll let Channel 2 handle that. Your call's coming up next, 412-928-9370. First, speaking of Mike's, I love Mike's. Get over to Mike's. So many beer selections over there. Great place to maybe take a long lunch break and watch some of the summer games coverage. Afternoon baseball games over at Mike's, like today's, of course. And before you know it, exhibition football. You're going to the game tomorrow night. Go over to Mike's beforehand. Go there afterwards for all the beer. 300 local beers, 80 rotating taps of local beers, 500 beers from around the world. Meet me at Mike's today. It's Mike's Beer Bar.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Hey, fantasy football owners, I'm Matt Harmon.
And what's cracking up, James Coe? Join us on Reception Perception as we dive deep into wide receivers, the position that will make or break your fantasy team.
Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.